that Danny? Danny, congratulations, man. Great to have you here today. How about a hand for Danny? The Air Force is well represented. Jesus, in the very center of the Sermon on the Mount, has two verses that I want to highlight. We've looked at them before, but I feel like it's applicable to look at them today. In Matthew 6, 33 and 34, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this will be given to you as well. Therefore," verse 34, "do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." There was a newly ordained Methodist pastor who was asked to speak at an area revival. Hundreds of people had come to that revival meeting. They'd gathered on the grounds, and in fact, the presiding bishop was there. And the young pastor went into the cabin where the presiding bishop was, and he sat down with him, and he says, "I'm supposed to preach in a few minutes, and I have no idea what to preach about. Do you have any advice for me, Bishop? I really trust you." He said, "Trust in the Lord, young man. Just trust in the Lord." That time, the bishop got up out of his chair and walked out of the front of his cabin to go greet people. The young pastor was really frustrated and didn't know what to do, and he looked on the table beside the chair where the bishop had been sitting, and he found the bishop's Bible there. He thought, "Well, I'll look in and see if I see an inspiring verse that he's underlined that I can share from." And instead, to his amazement, he opened up and he found a full set of notes that had been typed out for a sermon. He read it and he said, "Man, this looks pretty good." So he picked up the bishop's Bible in his hand and he went into the meeting, and he got up when it was time to preach. He opened up the bishop's Bible and laid the notes out, and he preached a masterful sermon that just amazed everyone. And people were congratulating him on his oratory skills and the content of his sermon. Well, working his way through the crowd to come up to that young preacher was the bishop. And he did not have a smile on his face. He had vim and vinegar coming from what he said. "Young man, you preached the sermon that I was going to preach tonight. Now, what am I going to do?" The young pastor looked at him and says, "Trust the Lord, Bishop. Just trust the Lord." Maybe that's what we need to do. For when we worry about tomorrow, we create more problems. We all have challenges and they confront us. It's called life. And we all have things that we're deeply concerned about, particularly the current situation in our land. And it is very troubling. We are at a very real crossroads moment. I think we all understand that. God will take care of today's problems and challenges. And God will take care of the tomorrows of our lives, but we got to trust him, first of all, with the todays of our lives. Where are you right now? Are you up in his lap and in his loving arms in your attitude and your approach to life? Or are you at arm's distance of saying, "I can't get to Jesus now, and I can't trust him for tomorrow because I'm too worried and consumed with what might happen today"? You see, worry destroys not only our todays, it destroys the possibility of being able to tackle tomorrows. It robs us of the strength that we need. It's a powerful force. It's really the failure to apply faith. When we don't have faith, we start to worry. When our faith is not as strong as it should be, we kick worry into a higher gear. We can be so consumed with worry. It's been said that no man ever sank under the burden of the today. But when tomorrow's burdens are added to the burdens of today, that's a weight that no man or woman can bear. Simply put, worry kills us. Some people have worry lines. They want to show you. They want to tell you about them. They'll look at the crease in their face, you know, they'll look in the mirror and they'll look at it. "Well, this is because I worried about that situation. This is because I worried about that situation. This is because of that situation." It does not do us any good to worry about tomorrow because we're not even promised tomorrow. We're not promised our next breath. If you're worrying about the problems of today, Satan is robbing you of the joys and the blessings of this moment. In the book, The Message, it translates Matthew 6:34 this way: give your entire attention to doing what is right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up tomorrow when the time comes. And God knows what time it is. Worry's not going to help our situation. Peter, in 1 Peter 5:7, says, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. Guess what? God's lap is big enough to hold you and me and the one beside you. God's arms are big enough to reach around us all and draw us close to him and hold us close and give us comfort and security. When we worry, we're like the mouse that's been in the cage. I'm sure you've seen them. They're on a wheel, and they'll travel on that wheel. Did you know that it's somebody calculated that a mouse in a wheel on a cage is going to travel over 9,000 miles in their lifetime? I don't know how they figured it out, but that's what they said. They spend all that activity on a wheel, still spinning around, and guess what? With all of that activity, they're still stuck in the cage. When we worry, we're like the mouse on the wheel, still stuck in the cage. We've got to get off of the worry wheel, get over by the door to allow ourselves to be released out of what's got us hemmed in and boxed in. But some folks, worry is a hobby. For other folks, worry is their passion. To some folks, they might even think that worrying is a spiritual gift. And it's the very opposite of a spiritual gift. Lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The writer of Proverbs told us that, and told us that. I think it's something for us to understand, that it's not our understanding, it's not our capability, it's not how we're going to figure it out. It's not all the efforts we spend in worrying that's going to fix something. There's five kind of attitudes that we can have towards the future. The first kind of attitude is this no care worry worldly attitude. It's like, man, you know, it's all going to happen. Okay, sarah, sarah. They'll spend time eating and drinking and be marrying and let tomorrow take care of itself. And I won't concentrate or fret about it. I'll just party now. Future's little concern to them. And stop right here. I think everyone here either has a savings account or would like to have a savings account. Everyone here is paid into Social Security or federal retirement plan, or would like to pay into, maybe less than what you currently are doing, but you want to receive it. When it comes time at the end, you want to be able to receive what you had put into Social Security. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is not being concerned any at all about tomorrow, that we just think life's one great big party. We party today, and if we get up tomorrow, we party tomorrow. And we kind of have an empty pursuit of life. There was a word for these kind of folks. They were called Epicureans. The Epicureans is just live a great big party, because tomorrow you may die. A second approach to life is to be fretful or anxious. This person is so consumed worrying about what could happen, what might happen, that they find themselves all wrapped up in their security as they're worrying. And I'll give you an example. For several years, a woman had been having trouble sleeping at night because she always feared burglars and she always could hear sound. She'd wake up in the middle of a deep sleep and hear a sound and would wake her husband up. Well, one night her husband heard the noise in the house. He got up and he went downstairs to investigate, and when he got there, sure enough, there was a burglar there. The husband said, "Good evening, sir. I'm so glad to meet you. Would you let me take you upstairs? My wife has been wanting to meet you for 10 years. We get so consumed, and we're so anxious about it, we couldn't possibly have any joy. We wouldn't know what to do with joy if it sat down right next to us. Worrying is their passion. You don't need to meet the burglar. You need to put your life in the hands of the Creator. Third approach is to have a fearful or a panicky attitude. This kind of person can barely function. They get to thinking about stuff and they hyperventilate. You know, they just get so consumed of what could be, and it robs them of their joy. It also robs them almost of their next breath or maybe even their next heartbeat. Probably a lot of us deal with blood pressure and cholesterol. And there's medicine for that. And I understand that. Take some of that. But sometimes anxiousness is brought on by ourselves rather than a medical condition. Lord, if I could just put it in your hands, put it on the altar, and leave it there. Oh man, Pastor B's preaching at me. No, he's not. I got four fingers coming right back at me. I got eight. Maybe two are going out, but eight are coming back. Those times that I just get so consumed about something, and I have to stop and realize, hey, Mike, God's bigger than what's the matter. You know, he really is. And I'm not going to gain anything by losing sleep worrying about something that he's already got handled. He's already got it figured it out. All I need to do is trust him. Another approach that some folks have is this kind of self-assured attitude. They got all kinds of confidence in themselves. It's like the man who had asked the Lord, he had a lot of things, and he wanted to know, you know, should I build bigger barns and bigger barns? And the Lord said, no, tonight thy soul will be required of thee. That guy kind of thought, kind of like the rich young ruler, that, you know, as long as I got resources to fix it, as long as I got strength to do it, as long as I can get it figured out, it's going to be taken care of, it's going to be handled. Why? Because I trust myself. You know, these people have a certain measure of self-confidence that it's almost arrogant. They don't trust anybody else. And as long as they can handle it, it's okay, because they know that they can handle it and it'll be fixed. Because you see, they're a judge of one. As long as it's done to their satisfaction, they think that it's handled. But here again, come back to what Peter said. Cast all your care on him, because he cares for you. When you and I seek God's kingdom and his righteousness today, and we leave the tomorrows in the Lord's hand, guess what? God does a really good job of taking care of today's as well as what we'll face tomorrow. In his grace and mercy, in his love that reaches to us, we find out that, you know, God's pretty good at what he does. He doesn't need me taking his position. He doesn't need me trying to handle what he can handle. He doesn't need you or I playing God. He doesn't need us thinking that we're creator when we're the created. Worry is unwise for Christians. It's sensible to make provisions for tomorrow. I believe in that. We plan. We pray. But then we got to come to that point to where we trust and we rest. Lord, we prayed, we planned, we've done all that we knew to do. We're still looking to you, we're still praying, but now we trust you and we put our rest in you. That if what we've prayed and praying for and the plan that we've come up with is not working, you're going to show us what's right. And you're going to help us through it. But we've still got a plan, we've still got to pray. But really, you need to rest. You know, and I know a bunch of people in life that call themselves Christian are so anxious because they've not learned to rest in Jesus' loving arms. He won't drop you. He knows right where you are and what you're facing. Worrying doesn't have to be a hobby or a way of life. Oh yeah, sensibly we make plans for tomorrow. We run into challenges, but we understand that God's the great problem solver. Sometimes he solves problems through a doctor and the prescription. Sometimes he does it through a doctor's healing hands. Sometimes Jesus did it by taking mud and rubbing it in eyes and curing blindness. Other times he speaks healing, and you didn't even physically see him in the room with you. And it's amazing we can be in one place and how God can, the situation that we're praying for is somewhere else, miles away. And did you know that God's big enough to be here and there at the same time? Today I've got a pastor friend in Kentucky that Friday evening got a phone call that there was a car wreck with some young people in his church. And young people from the community that were involved in a tragic head-on collision. Two are dead and one's on life support. A church and a youth group in a city are all in mourning. A pastor, he's new to that area. He'd been in East Tennessee for a number of years, and he's new in his assignment in Kentucky. And I sent him a message letting him know that I was praying for him and others, and as I've hit send on it, I just stopped and breathed the prayer. Lord, be with Tom. Help him be Jesus' hands and voice and presence in that room, because none of this makes sense. Some challenges that we face are like that. They just don't make sense, and they hurt a whole lot. But do you know what? There's a God that loves us, is there to pick us up and draw us close and help us and hold us. Don't worry about tomorrow. God got it covered. In His grace and mercy and love, He gives us to us one day at a time. It's been said if we don't worry about the future, God's already there. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of the people in the world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, spare change in a dish somewhere, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you woke up this morning with some more health than illness, and you're more blessed than a million who did not survive this week. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, or the agony of torture, the pangs of starvation, you're ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you can attend a church meeting without fear of harassment, albeit torture or death, you're more blessed this morning than over 3 billion people that are in our world. And if your parents are alive, you're still married, that's even rare in the United States. The axiom here is this: blessed are the man who's too busy to worry about it during the daytime and too sleepy to worry about it at night. God, you know the problem. You know the challenge. It's yours. We're yours. We meet today's challenges with today's strength and mercy. And God has told us in this verse that if he gives us tomorrow, he will give us the strength and mercy to help us with the tomorrow. Are you willing to put your today in his hands? To lay your todays on the altar of life? And say, Lord, if you give me a tomorrow, it's yours. Because I'm yours. Thank you, Lord. His name is wonderful. I don't know about tomorrow, but I sure know who holds tomorrow. And I know that he holds my hand. Before we transition, let me pray with you. Precious Lord, this morning, you who are the Creator know all of our hearts, each of our hearts. You know the burdens that we bear. You know the things that we're anxious about. You know the joys that we're experiencing. And precious Lord, you'll make a way. You've made a way to bring us to this point. We don't really believe that you're going to drop us now like a hot potato. You're going to be with us the rest of the way through. And for that, we thank you. For those times that I'm tempted to worry more than pray and praise, forgive me. For those times that I don't show faith like I need to, forgive me. Help me to know that as I put my hand in yours and leave it there, that you will lead me and each of us through the days and challenges of life. And precious Lord, we're just being honest this morning. You know what's going on in our land. You know the truth. You know the lies. You know the needs. We may be electing a president and senators and other representatives, but what we really need is a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Guide us, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise. Amen.